Beginning at verse 1, and can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 1042. Jesus' teaching on prayer. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Standing, and we're going to sing "My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less."
Many of the young people's group for leading our worship so sensitively this morning. We really appreciate that. And I suppose to make a link from the song, our praise gets louder, perhaps our prayer should get louder, not so much in volume, but in intensity and sincerity. Not quite sure how we're going to do with 11 o'clock for the silence, but we'll be relaxed and I trust kind with each other if we don't hit it exactly on the button as the children come back to join us. Let me lead you in a prayer. Father, you know us through and through, and we thank you for your love, and we thank you for the gift of your Spirit, the one who inspires our prayers. And we pray indeed that our prayers would grow louder and more deeper, more sincere, that your kingdom might truly come. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm the sort of chap that likes to know what's going on. Not quite sure why that is. It strikes me as a perfectly reasonable initiative and instinct. But on a couple of occasions, and these sorts of stories could be repeated many times, I literally had no idea what was going on, but it happened, and I relate it to you in humility and trust that you'll accept it for what it is. It illustrates Jesus' very, very well-known teaching on how to pray the Lord's Prayer. So I had a trusted companion with who I would meet to conduct what I suppose the Church of England called deliverance ministry, people who get themselves in a right old mess and pickle. Probably the influence of evil is upon them in a particularly acute way. And I had a ministry over a number of years with meeting with someone who was a pastoral worker. She's now ordained, married to a vicar, and they've 3 teenage children. We're occasionally in touch with each other. Christine and I met in my office with the person I was praying with, who had a dreadful life and lots of very peculiar symptoms. We prayed with them for a good long time, with questions and prayers and conversations. And my instinct told me that this particular client was heavy duty beyond others. And I asked someone who I trusted to meet downstairs, my office was upstairs in the room downstairs, and pray while this session was happening. We met afterwards, and I believe the person was helped after this ministry, and we chatted with each other. And the lady said, "But as I was praying, I had this picture," and Christine and I both literally fell over with amazement. Well, we had that picture as well. In my curacy, I had the privilege of leading what was the largest youth event in the south of England. It might even have been in the whole of the UK. And on Bank Holiday Monday, we encouraged people from the whole of Guildford Diocese, young people, to meet. And there must have been well over 1,000 of them gathered. And I was part of a group with Mark Mellowish, who is now the leader of New Wine. I think his wife was speaking at a recent event in Tunbridge Wells on mental health issues that some of the parish went to. Mark and I were pretty much new kids on the block. We'd be joking and laughing as we were walking down the aisle of Guildford Cathedral, just about to get ordained. There you go. Young people, new kids on the block. But there they were, 1,000 young people, and there was a girl speaking on the stage. And it was something to do with prayer and worship. And she just suddenly had a picture or a word in her head. And I exclaimed, almost fell over, to Mark, who was standing next to me. I'm actually quite quiet. Mark, my friend, is not quiet. And I said, "Goodness me, I've just had that." And Mark yelled out and said, "Do you know what Mark Brown's just had? He's just had that self-same picture." I mean, you could have heard a penny drop. And it's not for me, but I mean, the faith of that young girl mentioning that literally went upwards. I don't know what's going on, have to be honest. But it happened, and I've known many other situations since. If I want to put it under a microscope, but I'm preaching today, so I won't, I'll simply tell you the place between heaven and earth is probably a lot thinner than we realise. God is a lot closer to bless than ever as us thick people realise. And how does he kind of get through to us? Well, perhaps the penny was dropping with the disciples as they did have an advantage. This is God incarnate in Jesus Christ, walking the earth, doing miracles and teaching, and you could hear a penny drop and so on and so forth. And they suddenly were thinking, "Do you know what, I'd like some of that. Could you teach me how to pray?" And all educationists would know that if you bang on and bang on and bang on, you'll only accomplish something. But if the learners actually put their hand up and say, "I'd like to learn more," you're more than halfway, because the internal motivation kicks in, and that's what was happening in Jesus' day. Some people followed John the Baptist. They were his disciples. To disciple means you're disciplined, you follow. Other people were following Jesus. So the question came, "Lord, as John taught his disciples to pray, could you teach us to pray? We really want to learn." Perhaps to pause, where is the excitement of your appetite to come to things that you can learn? The stimulus that you might be blessed. And perhaps even in prayer, "Do you know what, I'm struggling. Or do you know what, I'm actually really excited about this." All stations. Heaven is a lot closer than we think. God hears. He knows. There's no point in going through the motions. It does need to be real. Forgive me. We've only one life to leave. Lord, teach us to pray. And wouldn't it be amazing if it wasn't just someone else praying for you, but it was Jesus Christ himself, who is at the Father's right hand, our advocate, pleading for us, interceding for us, praying for us. Remember, heaven and God are a lot closer than we think. And so he says, when you pray, say, what's the word? Our Father. He is praying with you. Whenever the faintest or the inkling comes to pray, there's someone else praying alongside you, and it is Jesus Christ. He's our Father. He's praying for us that we might know there is a Father in heaven. He's praying that when God's name is mentioned or ignored, It will be hallowed and respected. And if it's ignored, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. Hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May you recognize the sovereignty of Jesus Christ over your life. May you rely on God for your daily provision. It's not pie in the sky when you die, it's meat on your plate while you eat, and God provides for our daily needs. And Jesus, whilst he was sinless, knew what it was to forgive others their sins. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. He was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. He's praying for you. He's praying with you. Somehow that needs to capture our imagination. But as we do justice to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 11, if you want to follow with me on page 1042, I have three P's. First of all, a pattern in Jesus' teaching on prayer. I've just done some of it, and I trust too of many of the scriptures that it's worth reciting and learning from memory. The Lord's Prayer has certainly got to be one of them. We enjoy, I trust, saying it together corporately. Try memorizing it. Sometimes you'll need to learn it from memory before you can actually pray it, because if you're like me, you kind of get halfway through and you forgot what's going to come next. It's particularly embarrassing when you're a minister leading the prayers. Then, of course, you have what's a kind of verbal train crash, whether it's trespasses or sins. But you get the point. The prayer is there to be prayed, and it's a pattern. You can actually do actions to them. Try that once. You maybe need to be on your own and make sure your nearest and dearest isn't looking in the bathroom or the bedroom. Our Father in heaven, may your kingdom come, and so on and so forth. You could make it up to stimulate some form of pattern and rhythm. Or perhaps you could write it down. The most powerful way of recognizing this pattern of the Lord's Prayer, it's the Lord's Prayer. He's praying for you, but he's not going to do all the work. He says it and writes it that we might pray it, is to surely meditate and respect it and think it through. Held by the Father's love, wanting his name to be honoured, and hallowing his kingdom as we pray. A pattern Jesus gives us for discipline in prayer. Hence, it was John's disciples, his followers, Jesus' disciples, his followers, his disciples, the word means discipline. How disciplined are we at praying? Daily, weekly, monthly? Once a year, once when I need some help. How's our enthusiasm for praying? Here's a pattern that Jesus is both praying in you and wants to pray you to pray as well. And then secondly, if the first is there's a pattern for discipline, there is a picture for our heart. Heaven is a lot closer than we might think. And so it's like someone who is wanting food at midnight. They go to a friend and ask, and the friend shamelessly ignores them. But eventually, because they're knocking and knocking and knocking, they get up out of bed and they give a friend something to eat. And then that wonderful line in the story, how much more then will your heavenly Father give to those of you who ask? He's not grumpy and miserable and a grudging friend who finally will give what they ask. But he loves you, he cares for you, he wants to hear your prayers. Heaven is a lot closer than we think. A pattern for discipline. How regular are we? A picture for our hearts. Is there that leap of excitement that God is close, that he loves us, or actually has our heart gone cold? And it's once on Sunday, and I help out if I can. God loves you and he wants your love in return. And then a principle, thirdly, for our lives. Ask, you'll receive. Knock, the door will be opened. 9 times over, 3 illustrations repeated 3 times, and it's almost as if Jesus is saying, these things can be received. Notice how it's expressed in verse 13. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We reflected at the start of our service that the gift of prayer is not actually something we can generate ourselves. It comes by the gift of the Holy Spirit as he gives it to us. Christ prays for us at the Father's right hand in heaven, willing us on in our Christian life, and the Spirit himself then makes that prayer through us and brings us our prayer back to the Father in heaven. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's not about you and trying. It's about us receiving God's Spirit and allowing that Spirit to be given to us, and for that prayer that Christ is making for us to come from our hearts and lives and almost, as it were, meet in the middle. The other, of course, Christian prayer that's so famous without in this country is that of St. Augustine's. Our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. Is Europe restless at the moment? Yep. Is our country restless at the moment? Oh yes. Are we restless? Just have a moment to think about that. It's been good to be here. All these wonderful children. Full church. Mark told some interesting stories today. Jesus is asking you, are you restless? Would you ask him how to pray? Ask him. He's a lot closer than you think. And then the Holy Spirit will come to you. A pattern for discipline, a picture for our hearts to love God, and a principle for our lives. Let's pause and pray together. Father, as the rest of the country and even Europe pauses to remember, we hold a moment's quiet and we pray for ourselves that the gift of the Spirit might be stirred up within each one of us, that we might live as followers of Jesus Christ, follow his pattern in prayer, and seek support and love from others when our prayers seem unanswered and our cries go unheard. Thank you that we have a Father in heaven. We pray that the name of Christ would be honoured and his kingdom come. Amen. I think the children will come soon, and we've got a couple of visual aids.